It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the Daily Herald says DuPage County's Kyle Kinane is in town. That's accurate.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I guess my heart belongs to DuPage.
They got you pegged. Yeah. DuPage County's Kyle Kinane. Of course, Kyle Kinane lives in Los Angeles. He's on tour right now. He's doing three shows at the Up Comedy Club in Old Town starting tonight. Kyle, good to see you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
You are a Chicago comic. I mean, you grew up in Addison, right?
Yeah. I grew up in Addison. It's funny. Like, I did comedy here for 4 years. And then I moved to L.A., and I've been in L.A. for 12.
Wow.
But I still –
12 years?
I'm still a Chicago Cowboy.
Well, that's a question. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, do you always – would you always sort of resemble yourself? Do you say that I'm from Chicago, I'm a Chicago comic when you're in L.A.?
I think –
Doesn't matter at this point?
Well, I think for anybody, it's kind of like where you started. I mean, where you started, why you started, because, you know, it was – 99, I started here, and there was no – I think comedy's, like, it's a cool thing now. Like, comedy – there's attractive people at comedy shows, which that was never the case. And so that's why starting it here, even not sketch comedy, but stand-up, it was like this wart on the performance scene. And it was great because, like, yeah, it's not – nobody's getting famous. Nobody's going to make any money. I suck at music, so I'm going to do this thing.
Well, I mean, 1999, you're right. I mean, that was a big improv was big here because of Second City, sketch comedy, but stand-up wasn't what it is now, at least in Chicago.
No.
Tell us a little bit about where were you performing in 1999?
99, I started – the very first show I ever performed at was – there was – it may have been in the Daily Herald, actually, where there was an advertisement for the HBO Aspen – Comedy Arts Festival is going to have an open casting call. And so everybody just come down to Zanies on Wells and you get three minutes to like prove to these talent executives that you should go to the biggest comedy festival in the world. And of course I thought, well, perfect.
Two guys sipping wine. Right?
Yeah. The tastemakers. And I liked comedy. I always, but that's what's, I don't, when everybody's like, what's your, you're supposed to list, you know, Bill Hicks and Richard Pryor.
Those are
all your influences for comedy.
Yeah.
And mine was like, I watched when I was 9 or 10 years old, whatever the Sunday funnies were. And it was still guys like Bruce Baum and just like my influence. Like, I like silly stuff. I'm not a silly guy, but that's what I like with comedies. Everybody's like, yeah, but Bill Hicks changed the landscape. And it really meant something. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I was 11, and he just seemed like an angry man. And I'm like, why do I want to watch an angry guy when I'm 11? I'm 11. I want to watch silly, fun stuff. But I always liked comedy, but I never performed it. And I was working at a gas station, Wooddale. So I'd read the Trib, I'd read the Sun-Times, and I'd read the Herald, because that's what you do in the morning when you work at a gas station, just read all the papers. And I saw that. I was like, all right, man. Look at what you're doing right now.
That was your first show?
Yeah. I was like, look at what you're doing. You're sitting at a gas station. I was 22. You work at a gas station. Go try something. Just do something.
Do you remember the jokes? I mean, were you trying them out at the gas station? Try them out on the people that were coming
I would never. I was so huddled and so secretive. Like, I'd rather lose my phone than a joke notebook because – of not be like it's so genius, but I'm so embarrassed of most of the things I've written down that if like everybody's like puts their name and their phone number, if lost, call them. Like, I would never do that. I want to know who's got this because otherwise it looks like a manifesto.
Right.
It looks.
I've been there.
It's not the whole joke isn't written down.
It's all scribble with a couple of weird.
Yeah, just
dirty
like
words.
One page just says murder spaghetti on it. It's like, that's not going to, like, I don't want that back. Don't. Go ahead.
Are you the kind of comic with all this technology that keeps a joke book still? Or are you at the point where you got people for that?
I have people?
Yeah.
I have an assistant on
stage. You
have
an assistant who's just like,
page 32. All right, great. I still write it down because it's – I'll use my phone to type some notes. But there's something visceral. I went to school at Columbia for fiction writing. So there's something very visceral about but just about you, especially with jokes where it's not the structure. So you write one sentence, you're like, oh, that'd be funnier if it was up here first. Right. And so there's arrows and it looks like, you know, a Mannix treasure map. And so I like that aspect of writing all the stuff out and scribbling and like I got to read it going around the corner of the page. I got so excited about a thought that I didn't want to go to the next page, that it's got to be in the same page to make OCD, I guess.
Well, let me ask you, you know, the show. So you do the show at Zanies in 1999, your first show.
Yeah.
3 minute for the HBO Aspen Festival, which is a big festival.
Yeah.
What happens next? I mean, do you say, okay, are you like, okay, from here on out, I'm going to do open mics. I'm going to stay in the city scene. What happens after that show?
I had no idea. Because even at that point, stand-up comedy on television was still guys in suits and everything talking about their wives. And, like, I didn't relate to that ever. Like, I'm 22. I go to see punk shows all the time. So it was, like, my secret fascination was stand-up. But nobody else related to it. And so I went to that, and I saw all different types. It wasn't suit-based. It was always getting – people were driving down from Wisconsin, Minneapolis. Like, I didn't realize how big of a deal this was. And like, oh, all these people do this. Like, this is a thing that is happening. That under the surface, nobody realized there's tons of stand-ups. And so I didn't even know where to start. I didn't know to look at for open mic listings. I didn't know any of that. And then I was going to Columbia, and my friend Johnny Berger, who's coming out to the show tonight, was he was in one of my classes, and I didn't know him at the time, but I saw him at the show. And I was like, hey, did you do that? You were at that HBO thing. He's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, where do you go? And he told me about all these places, and I can't remember the name of the one place. It was called Cherry Red for a while.
Yeah,
and
right.
That place, it was, but the place I cut my teeth at very first was the Red Lion on Lincoln, which is not there anymore. So the Red Lion is where I first started going on Thursday nights. And I went and just watched for that whole summer for 99. Like, I was too scared to do it. And I didn't want to see people do well. I wanted to see enough people do bad. And then be okay about it, to know that I could do bad and not feel embarrassed. Like, it wasn't like I didn't want to do good. I just wanted to know I'd be okay if I did poorly. And so you'd see somebody go up and have like a lousy set, but then they're still hanging out and everybody's friends. I'm like,
right.
Oh, it's not like embarrassing yourself in gym class. And there is everybody shuns you because you bricked a basketball.
There is an etiquette to open mics like that. You go to an open mic now tonight in Wicker Park or somewhere, and it's 38, 40 stand-ups.
I went to Kohl's last night. There's 44 people.
44 people. Pretty much the whole audience gets up on stage at one point. But that's basically the idea. Yeah. And they're just working out material, trying out new things. But there really is this code where it's not like people may think, where you get up on stage and you bomb and the world's over. That's not how it works.
It feels like that sometimes. I took it very seriously. Like, I found the one thing that was going to be a challenge that I wasn't going to shy away from because of that. You know, everything else, if it was difficult, I'm lazy. I'm like, nah, not for me. I'm going to get good at BMX biking, spend $900 on a BMX bike when I'm a senior in high school. Nah, I suck at this, whatever. You know, skateboarding, nah, you're lousy. I'm in a band. I made the band thing work for a little while, but mostly because it was just my buddies and it was fun. Then that band broke up and I got in a band with people I didn't know that well, but who were real musicians. I'm like, this isn't a good time.
Well, luckily you found your calling. Kyle Kinane doing three shows this week in Chicago at Up Theater.
Five shows. I'm working hard. All right.
I didn't know that. So you're doing five shows at Up in Old Town. Wow. We'll talk about that. Let's talk more about that when we come back with Kyle Kinane here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Kyle Kinane. Doing five shows, three nights, the Up Comedy Club in Old Town in Piper's Alley. Mm-hmm. Before the break, we talked about you just, you know, trying things out and they're not working out. For comedy, when was it when you knew, oh, man, I really got something here? This is not just me goofing off at open mics, but I'm starting to realize I got a place.
Yeah. Like I said, I went and watched for at least a couple months. We'll just go and see and creep around. And I finally, when I went to, and I would never bring anybody. Because that was the one thing, like, you see people like, I'm going to do an open mic, and they bring the whole restaurant they work at, and everybody's there. It's like, how are you going to get an honest gauge? Like, of course your friends think you're hilarious. Now they're all here. So I'm like, I'm not telling anybody I'm doing. I brought my one friend, Greg, to come watch the shows, and I did my jokes. And there's a fellow named Dwayne Kennedy from Chicago, and he's still around. He still shows up. He's like a ghost. Everybody's like, oh, no, he's writing on this show in L.A. I was like, no, he's in New York. I think I saw him in New – nobody knows. Somebody's like, no, he's back. I saw him back in Chicago. I think he's just working. Like, but he is still like one of the best comedians I've ever seen. But that was the guy at that time. If he was doing a set, the whole place shut up everybody that was at the bar, everybody came in to watch him perform. And so I did my set at a show, and then I wasn't making friends with everybody, not looking. And he's like, "Hey, man, that was funny. You should keep doing this. Like, you should come back and do this." And so him telling me that was like, "All right," he didn't have to say anything. There's nothing to gain by encouraging me. I think he's being truthful. Like I don't work with confidence. I work with self-doubt the best. Like, that's the best quality control.
That's your motivation.
Yeah. People think it's low self-esteem. It's like, no, it's quality control. If I always think it's terrible, when it goes well, I'm like, all right, you earned this one.
Yeah, you got to set expectations.
Yeah. Opposed to like, no big deal. It'll be great next time. It's like, no, it's always terrible. And just deal with that. And so that way you never take it for granted when it goes well.
At the time, you know, when you talk about Dwayne, you talk about your time before you went to L.A. I mean, there were a lot of Chicago comics that today are just making it.
Yeah.
You, Kamel, T.J. Miller.
Yeah.
A lot of people down that list, and I'm forgetting a million.
Pete Holmes. Matt Rogger, Best Dowling.
Yep. Mike Burns.
People.
Like,
yeah.
All those guys, you seem to came together at the same time. You came up at the same time, and now you're all in Los Angeles. What's that like, having that sort of camaraderie from Chicago comics that are all doing well in Los Angeles?
It's – you know what I think what was happening here is happening in a lot of cities now that comedy is more popular. But it's a lot of people are learning how to perform comedy, not looking for fame, learning how to perform comedy. And it's not competitive. I mean, there's some sports guys that are doing the only competition, it's just versus yourself. That's all it is. Like, am I better than last week? Did I write a better joke than the one that's already my best joke? And so it wasn't exclusionary. Like you go to sports, or I never really did that, but comedy was all – I was like, hey, good job. Hey, and then you'd ask your friends, hey, will you watch? I'm doing a new joke. Can you come in and give me some notes on it? And it was that process of – it was like refinement – of everybody trying to help each other out. And like I said, again, not worrying about fame. Like, is this a good TV? I was like, no, just be weird. Do whatever you want to do. And we all help each other together. And that kind of boosted everybody up.
Yeah.
And now I see other scenes, not LA or New York, but other like Atlanta or Denver, is the same thing where everybody kind of got along. I was like, that was really an encouraging, and realize, like, no, we're not looking for fame. We just want to be good at this thing.
How important is that? I mean, especially in a city like Chicago, to not look for fame? Because stand-up, automatically, you get to a point where you do a good 10 minutes, get 15 minutes. That's your showcase. I mean, you can go to festivals. You can go different places. That can be what you do for the Tastemakers, for the HBO festival. At what point is it important to put that to the side and just work on the work?
Always. That's the only
thing. Is it harder to do in L.A.?
I mean, because I've been at it long enough. I don't know. And obviously, I didn't start there.
Yeah.
So to start under the spotlight of everybody, you know, somebody walking in that could put you. And that actually works out for some people, too. They're raw. They don't know any better. They're not too polished. And somebody's like, pluck them and get them before they overthink things. And, yeah, you can't. You know, they do pick people out, and just somebody makes it. They just move there 6 months later. They're on a TV show. Don't base your expectations on those rare exceptions. That's what people are like, well, so-and-so just got something right away. It's like, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're a good example of somebody who, you know, you say
slow and steady.
Watch comics to watch, new comics to watch, 2010, 2012. And you're right. I mean, we're talking about since 1999, you've been working on this craft.
I love getting a fresh face showcase 12 years into the game. Fresh. This is fresh. Oh, boy. You should have caught me. Back in the early aughts, before I could even grow a beard, voice sounded like a teenager. Yeah, to get that showcase, I don't know. It's never – I've never thought about, like, compartmentalizing. It's just what's next. It's always over. I always think it's over. I always think, like, you have 1 week of new jokes that aren't working. You're like, oh, I used it. I'm done. I used all the jokes. I can't write anything else. I was just going through that. I did the Edinburgh Festival for the month of August. I came back. I was like, I don't know if I want to do comedy. Like, it made me
hate the
thing I love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that festival. That's crazy.
That's great. I hate it so much.
Well, you got to do it every night, right? You got to do it every night.
An hour every night.
Wow.
The city is just overrun. Like, I think the city doubles in size, population size. It doesn't physically double in size. They just build a whole new building.
Pretty much.
They put two castles in there for the festival. And But it was just, it was too much.
I mean, that's living comedy. I mean, and there's a lot of London stand-ups who come up, right? And that's like, it's a big stand-up. It's a big part of that festival.
That's...
And people have expectations on that. So getting a taste of that life where you perform an hour every single night.
And I do that, but not in the same drippy cave where there's still...
Formerly dry cleaning.
Yeah, there's a DJ from Beirut in the room next door lighting things up, and I'm next to the recycling bin. I was like, not that I need ideal conditions. I love doing, like, garage shows and stuff. Like that's where comedy's going. Some of the best shows in L.A. Yeah, nobody goes, I'm like, what clubs are you trying to get into? I'm like, no, actually, this guy's got a backyard. That show's a blast. You should really get
it's
on
a very
that
punk
game.
Rock aesthetic.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, because everybody's like, wait a minute, what? You want me to run a show at your club, but you want me to produce it and promote it, and then you just sit back because you have the building.
Well, I was going
to. I have a building too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, for you, what is the mechanism of putting up shows in L.A.? I mean, is it you go through booking and agents, and there's certain clubs like, you know, Laugh Factory or Comedy Store, things like that on the Strip, or are you you've always been sort of a DIY in the Chicago comics? Are you finding your own place to perform?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, that was the thing here, is that when I was, there was one club, which everybody knows which the one club was, and they weren't really welcoming. It was, you went through the process to try an MC, and they didn't want you to tell jokes as an MC. They just wanted you to be fun. So the people that were great comics weren't like all cheerful, like, how's everybody doing? We got a birthday over? That's, you just have to be a coach. But the great comics weren't getting those gigs, so nobody cared about working there. I got to do guest spots there. What do I care? It's Zany's on Wells.
What do I care? The new Kyle Kinane record. What do I care?
Come on. But no, it was just so a lot of the new comedy, the people that were doing, it wasn't conducive to that comedy club style. So it's no fault. They have a model that works there, and it's still working. So right on. Keep doing it. But I will say that Martine, I don't know if he's still there anymore, but Martine he was like the manager, and he would always let me sneak in and do a guest spot. And so I do. And the staff there was great. I will say Martine and the staff were fantastic at Zany's. They always treated the local guys nice to come in and do a guest spot. I was never going to work there, but they let me do a guest spot, see how it'd go.
We're talking with Kyle Kinane. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more with Kyle Kinane, who's in Chicago right now on tour. 5 shows in 3 nights at the Up Comedy Club in Old Town. We'll continue the conversation after the news here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. My guest tonight, Kyle Kinane, stand-up comic who's in Chicago doing 5 shows in 3 nights at the Up Comedy Club at Piper's Alley in Old Town, part of Second City. You know, we're talking about your time here in Chicago because you spent, as you said at the beginning, only 4 years here, 10 plus now in Los Angeles. But that time, I remember, you know, going to shows, going to Lincoln Lodge, seeing you, seeing others.
Yeah.
Talk about, I mean, we're having a conversation about the aesthetic, about the idea that you don't necessarily have to go to the standard club anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe in the 80s and 90s, that's all you could do is go to Wells Street and try to get on stage as much as you can. But it seems like you're getting more and more, and you see this in L.A. too, back of bars, like you said, garages, backyards. Is the industry and the people who are going to, at the end of the day, pay you? Are they catching on to that? Are they saying, yes, that's suitable? Wherever you can put up comedy, put it up.
Well, part of that is... maybe the industry's not there for you to put on the show or this or that, but when you cut your teeth in those situations and all of a sudden you do get a chance at a club and you walk in, you're like, I got this, you know, and it's something different because you cut your teeth learning comedies other ways, and they're seeing something different and something refreshing and something that's been supported by that DIY aesthetic that you're not getting somebody up there, man, my wife is so crazy, you know. But that is kind of commonplace now, is that every comic is just, you know, very few people are talking about wife and kid stuff because who's the market for comedians? It's millennials. It's people that aren't married or don't, like, you know, a lot of student loan debt humor. that's the current event, is that everybody's in debt. No, we can afford it. Yeah, so that's the...
Well, I mean... even Comedy Central to an extent with Meltdown, you know, but that's sort of the idea that sits in the back of a comic book store.
Yeah.
There seems to be this alt sensibility. I hate to use that word, but the idea of this alternative comic sensibility that is really spilling over into the mainstream. You're seeing less of the, and I don't want to put anybody down, but the Jay Leno suited up kind of comics, and more comics like you or the others out of Chicago that are going mainstream.
Well, and ultimately, if you want to play stadiums, you have to flatten out and appeal to enough people to fill a stadium. And so rarely is somebody that's filling a stadium also speaking to, like, but yeah, oh, good, that's, yeah, generalizations and this and that. Yeah. Like, good for you, man. You're so, and it, that works for that many people. So don't expect superstardom with being a total weirdo. I mean, some people did. I mean, Zach Galifianakis did well with it, being a goofball and everything, but through an acting career, you know, but discovered through stand-up. And so that, I think that's the goal. Yeah, you get discovered now for being the weird guy, and you bring those sensibilities to an acting role. But the alt sensibility, that's kind of just normal now.
Yeah, right.
It's not alternative. It is kind of the norm. There's the three clubs in LA, you know, Improv, Comedy Store, and Laugh Factory. But every night there's four or five shows with just as good of a lineup happening at the patio of a taco restaurant on Tuesday night. I mean, these are real shows. Yeah, the Best Fish Tacos in Ensenada has a great show on Tuesday nights. Wednesday nights, Meltdown. Monday nights, a bar called The Virgil, which is Hot Tub with Kurt Brownell and Kristen Shaw, who's everywhere. And that show's jammed out every time. Every night, there's fantastic lineups that have nothing to do with the club.
Well, let's talk about Chicago, because one of the clubs you mentioned earlier, Lincoln Lodge,
that's
sort of the same sensibility as you talk about these places that are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That was happening in Chicago years ago.
Yeah, and that's why I still will consider myself a Chicago comic, because Mark Geary, who ran the original Red Lion open mic that I started at, he went on to open that place at the Lincoln Restaurant. And anytime I was back, I always had a home. I still do. Anytime I'm back, I always have a home to play somewhere. And he's now in the process of trying to, you know, make a nonprofit comedy club, like art space, community run comedy space. So he is trying to get – he's getting stuff together with that right now. And like Chicago guys like TJ Miller and Kamel helping him to do that. And, yeah, that was – it was just him. All the comics – the reason there was a whole stage set up in the back of a pancake restaurant is all the comics got together. He had a crew of people. And it was very, power division equally of like, you help put the stage together, you're going to get 10 minutes tonight. You know, and it was this weird – they would do the man on the street interviews, but I would always do the Christmas show, and as my birthday show. So it's always, it's 5 degrees out, and somebody's trying to do a man on the street interview, and there's nobody out. There's nobody on Damon and Lincoln at that moment on a Friday, and anybody walking by
like, doesn't want to stop for
an interview. They're like, no. And so they wind up just getting to a cab and bugging cab drivers.
That stuff works in LA, right?
Yeah, it was real silly. And so, and he's still going. So hopefully that space gets
Well, it speaks to
up.
The community. I mean, like you said, the 90s, it really was this thing where you had to be in the clubs in Chicago, Zany's down on Wells Street or any of the others that were downtown. But through your work, through Mark's work, through others in the comedy community, in the 2000s, you saw a community being built here. And it's Chicago Underground was over on Belmont.
Yeah, yeah.
You had the Lincoln Lodge, other places. But it seems like that community, and this happens a lot in big cities, moved.
Yeah.
Is Chicago still as strong a stand-up community as it was when you guys were here?
I couldn't speak honestly because I don't even know who the big working players are right now. I mean, the people I do know here are doing, still doing great. I saw Adam Burke last night, and he's still amazing and, the Irish intellect, and he's an amazing dude. The art in any kind of, is always a response, It's a lot of times it's a response to what's happening. So, whatever type of music's popular, then the opposite is going to come up in popularity as a response. So I think the comedy stand-up was becoming, nobody's relating to mainstream sitcoms or Jay Leno nightclub jokes or this and that. But then enough people wander into a bar, what's in the back room? Stand-up comedy, ugh. But then enough people started, I always hate, comedy shows are like roaches. Like every place has had one or has one. Like I'll drive around LA and just every other building, somebody's tried to do comedy. That's the thing. Now it's like just because DIY, people forget that sometimes it's do it yourself because you could do it your own way. Sometimes it's do it yourself because it's a bad idea and nobody else wants to help you. Like that's some people don't realize. Like I'm DIY. It's like because you have a crappy idea. Like nobody wants this horrible idea. When somebody's like, we're just gonna do stand up in the middle of this Italian restaurant on a Friday night, and you watch people's faces just fall with like, I'm just gonna have a nice family meal, and then you hear that somebody tap on the mic. Hey guys, we got a comedy show starting in 5 minutes here, but just
check please, let me get out of here.
Like you don't hijack somebody's evening for comedy. That's the one rule about a DIY. Don't hijack, don't spring comedy on people. And then get upset that they're talking through. I can't believe this guy talked through my set. No, you talked through their dinner. That's what you did. And you did it with an amplification system, so it's even more rude.
Let me ask you this, as we wrap up here. You say you're a Chicago comic. What about this city growing up here, growing up in DuPage County? What about it stays with you as a comic? What about growing up here and being a Chicagoan informs the work you do?
I think it was I always butcher some Garrison Keillor quote about the Midwest, but it was something about just understanding that life's miserable. So then when you're having a good time, appreciate it because you know it's not going to last. So just be like, oh, this is fun. I mean, I'm ready for tomorrow when it's all crap again. But I think it was, especially growing up, it was nobody was delusional. Why can't I? That's good. How many you got? Do you do voiceover work, Kyle? You got two interviews today? Just keep putting A-B-L-E on the end of every word. But just if you're going to – nobody was delusional about what was going to come from life. That's why I'm still freaked out. Like I feel like I walked too far out on the plank. Like no, this wasn't supposed to happen. But it was – if you were going to complain, especially my group of friends, if you're going to complain about something, you make it entertaining. Like that was – everybody's life sucks in one way or another. Obviously, some more than others. And you can complain, but make it fun for people to listen to. Don't just whine about stuff. If you whine, nobody cares. But if you can complain and somebody's like laughing at it, that makes you feel better because you don't feel so bad about your thing. Cause it used to, and it's like laughter is an uplifting thing, if I'm sorry to be cheesy about it, but then you're not feeling as bad. So my group of friends, my buddy Bob, I feel bad. If he had a bad day, we loved it because he would complain about it, and it was the best laugh we were going to have all week. So that was – I think that's a Midwestern sensibility. Like, things suck. Laugh about them. Like, make a joke about it, and it'll make it – like, you'll get through it. You're going to die someday, so at least get laughs out of whatever crummy existence you got. And I think that was – I think that's a Midwest and a Chicago sensibility.
That's Kyle Kinane in a nutshell right there. Kyle Kinane, he's got 5 shows – 3 nights here in Chicago at the Up Theater, a comedy club at Piper's Alley. He's on tour right now. You can see him all over. I mean, what after the tour, what are you doing back to L.A.?
It's never – tour doesn't stop.
Never stops.
I will be – I'm going to do my next special here. I'm going to tape it at the Metro.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
When is that? Do you know when that's going to be?
In May. I'm going to be back in May.
All right. Be back in May. Kyle, thanks for being here. Good luck with the shows this week.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.